This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wa salatu wassalamu ala al-ma'uthi rahmatin lil alamin nabiyyina wa habibina Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim amma ba'd. Al-yawm al-khamis wa al-shurur min shahri Rabi' al-thani 1446 الموافق ل 28 من شهر أكتوبر 2024 نواصل درسنا في هذا الكتاب المبارك أشراط الساعة. أسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يبارك فينا وفيما نتعلمه وأن يغفر لنا الزلات ويغفر للمؤلف ويرفع درجته في العليين. So بإذن الله تعالى today we have a very important topic, which is about the Zuhur al-Khawarij and also the Ma'rakat or Mawqi'at al-Harra. So one of the fitan, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that the Muslim community will be disturbed by it, is the Zuhur al-Khawarij, the appearance of the Khawarij. Khawarij, these are the people who went against the Khalifa, and at that time the Khalifa was Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib. You know, it was the Khalifa. Muawiyah wasn't the Khalifa, but he was leading the people in Sham, and because of the misunderstanding, so it looks like we have two Khulafa. But this is wrong understanding. The people in Sham, they know that Amir al-Mu'mineen is Ali ibn Abi Talib, but they just believe that they do have a right, and they do have a right to fight for that right. So that's exactly what happens, not looking for leadership at all. They all believe that Ali ibn Abi Talib is a Khalifa of the Muslimin. So Khawarij, they went against Ali ibn Abi Talib and against Muawiyah, and they fought both of them. And unfortunately, you know, subhanAllah, we have to be tested by these ones. And up to this date, you have the balance of these type of beliefs going against the rulers, which many of us don't understand how to follow the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Out of impatience and also enthusiasm that has been placed in the wrong way, they do actions which will, provoke chaos in the Muslim communities. And I guess, and everyone who is living in our time has already seen a lot of examples concerning this matter. It's not something that you need, you know, to go deeper for you to understand what exactly is the evil consequences of going for this. So, Al-Khawarij, this is, their appearance is one of the fitan that the Muslim community was disturbed by. قَالَ وَمِنَ الْفِتَنِ الَّتِي وَقَعَتْ ظُهُورُ الْخَوَارِجِ عَلَىٰ عَلِي بِنْ أَبِي طَالِبٍ. So these are the Khawarij that happens during the time of Ali ibn Abi Talib, and they went against Ali ibn Abi Talib. وَكَانَ بِدَاتِ ظُهُورِهِمْ بَعْدَ انْتِهَاءِ مَعْرِكَةِ الصِّفِّينَ. And they started to emerge after the end of the Ma'rakat Siffin, the Battle of Siffin. This is when they began. وَاتِّفَاقُ أَهْلِ الْعِرَاقِ وَالشَّامِ عَلَى التَّحْكِيمِ بَيْنَ الطَّائِفَتَيْنِ. Because after the Battle of Siffin, the Ahlul al-Iraq and the Ahlul al-Sham, they both agree to come for at-tahkim. At-tahkim means let's sit together and bring some people to come and see what exactly is the matter. We kept on killing each other. Why can't we just reconcile? Is it a good initiative? Yes. Yeah. That's why when the Khawarij blame Ali ibn Abi Talib for accepting to let Rijal, human beings, be in the middle between him and Muawiyah or the Ahlul al-Sham, the Khawarij got annoyed. They said, how can you stay away from the Book of Allah and use people? You know, why do you go for people? You know, the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there. La hukma illa lillah. Yani kalimatu haq. Like you read biha batil. It's a very good statement. La hukma illa lillah. But the intention is not good. Because sometimes you might use a word that is correct, but the intention is not good. And the application is not good. So they said, لَا حُكُمَ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ. So Abdullah ibn Abbas told them, in Hajj, when somebody killed an animal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked two amongst the scholars to decide what could be the compensation. He said, animal is being killed, and we need two scholars, not one, two scholars to decide what could be the compensation. When the blood of an animal is being shed, he told them, don't you think the blood of human beings, and Muslim also amongst the human beings, is more sacred than this? They said, yeah, you are right. You are right, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he says, sufaha'ul ahlam, you know, prodigals in their thinking. Because you see, you know, do you need any clear explanation for you to understand this? And you remember, they call Ali bin Abi Talib kafir. You remember why they call him kafir, right? Because in the treaty, in this tahkim, because they were also monitoring, although they rejected, but they were monitoring to see what exactly are they going to be doing. When they wrote Amir al-Mu'mineen, Ali bin Abi Talib, Amir al-Mu'mineen, they said, Ali bin Abi Talib, out of humbleness, you know, when I call him Sheikh Omar, Dr. Omar, Professor Omar, Omar might say, no, just call me Omar. Is he rejecting the fact? No, he's not. But he wants to be humble. Yeah, sometimes we do that, right? Sometimes you keep quiet, sometimes you... But just restrict yourself to Omar. Ali bin Abi Talib, when they call him Amir al-Mu'mineen, he said, just put Ali bin Abi Talib. The Khawarij said, oh, if he is refusing to accept the title of Amir al-Mu'mineen, that means he is Amir al-Kafirin. You will like and see the way the Aql is going. If he is rejected to be the Amir al-Mu'mineen, and he wasn't rejected, it's just out of humbleness, he is already the Khalifa. Does he need for you to come and tell him you are the Khalifa? He is already. So these are the Khawarij. So they said they don't agree with that tahkim. And that's the beginning of this fitna and the emergence of these guys, subhanAllah, very harsh against the believers. Qalu, when this agreement and the treaty happened, so then the Khawarij rejected Ali bin Abi Talib and Muawiyah as well. وفي أثناء رجوع علي رضي الله عنه إلى الكوفة فارقه الخوارج. So when he was on the way back to Kufa, the Khawarij, they left him. وقد كانوا في جيشه, and they were amongst his army. ونزلوا مكانا يقال له حرورا. They landed, you know, they stopped at a place which is called حرورا. It's a قرية about 2 miles from Kufa. You know, Kufa is a city in Iraq. So that Qarya, that Harura, it is a city, it's a village, is about 2 miles before the Kufa. You get it? That's why they call somebody who is taking the opinion of Khawarij, they call him Haruriya. You remember in the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, when that sister told Aisha radiallahu anha, she said, مَا بَالُ الْحَائِدْ تَقْضِي الصَّوْمَ وَلَا تَقْضِي الصَّلَاةِ. She said, why in Islam, the ha'id, the woman who is observing her menses, she makes up the prayers she missed, but she doesn't need to make up the she makes up the fast, but she doesn't need to make up the prayers. Aisha told her, what kind of question is this? Ahururiyatun anti? Are you amongst the Khawarij? She said, Ahururiyatun anti? Are you one of the Khawarij? Yeah, so they are called Haruriya because of that place. They stopped at that place. They make their military base at that place. You get it? And because amongst the Aqa'id, they don't agree with the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah that Ha'id doesn't pray. According to the Khawarij, even if a woman is observing the menses, she still have to pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah, this is the Aqeedah against every Muslim almost. Yeah. They have some weird things. At first, Khawarij, as you see, is a political movement. It wasn't Aqidah matter at all, it's a political movement. But, you know, Yahudi is behind all of these. Yeah, so you can expect anything to happen as part of that movement. قَالَ وَنَزَلُوا مَكَانٍ قَلَّهُ حَرُورًا وَبَلَغَ عَدَدُهُمْ 8,000. And they were around 8,000. That's not an easy amount. وَقِيلَ 16,000. Some scholars said they were around 16,000. فأرسل علي إليهم ابن عباس رضي الله عنه فناظرهم ورجع معه بعضهم ودخلوا في طائفة علي. So Ali ibn Abi Talib sent Abdullah ibn Abbas to go and see what exactly is the problem, what is the matter with them. So, and you know, he told him, don't debate with them using the Quran, use the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he managed, alhamdulillah, to convince a huge amount of them, 2,000-3,000. They came back and they joined the army of Ali ibn Abi Talib. So, قَالَ وَأَشَاءَ الْخَوَارِجُ أَنَّ عَلِيًّا تَابَ مِنَ الْحُكُومَةِ ولذلك رجع بعضهم إلى طاعته. So they kept on spreading news that Ali ibn Abi Talib repented from that hukuma. Hukuma they're referring to? Tahkim. You know, when he asked two people to come and reconcile between the believers, between him and the people of Sham. So Khawarij, you know, they separated themselves from him because of this. Why did he accept the hukum of human beings, not the hukum of the Quran? And Ali ibn Abi Talib is not rejecting the Quran. This is just typical ignorance by the Khawarij. So they kept on saying, Ali ibn Abi Talib actually changed his mind and he repented. That's why some people went to Ali ibn Abi Talib. They went back to join him once again. فَخَطَبَهُمْ عَلِيٌّ فِي مَسْجِدِ الْكُوفَةِ فنادوا من جوانب المسجد لا حكم إلا لله وقالوا أشركت وحكمت الرجال ولم تحكم كتاب الله. So Ali ibn Abi Talib, he stood up, he gave them khutbah after he reached the Kufa. This is when they were very clear, Muhammad, I think these people. This is when they are very, very, very clear that Ali ibn Abi Talib did not make any repentance. There is no need to repent on what he was doing was correct. فَخَطَبَهُمْ عَلِيٌّ فَنَادَوْا مِنْ جَوَانِبِ الْمَسْجِدِ So they kept on, you know, talking to each other from the side of the masjid. لَا حُكُمَ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ There is no hukum except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. Please, we are very sorry. We have been using this venue for ages, every Monday and Thursday. So please, there are some classes that are open. It's better for you, rather than having clash between us and you, go and have your events there. It's better. Yeah, we are studying the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here. We don't want to clash with you. Yeah, so please, we advise you to go and do it outside. After we finish, you can come back. Or if you decide to sit, please maintain your complete silence. Please. Okay. So when Ali ibn Abi Talib talked to them in the khutbah, they started talking to each other, shouting, saying that لا حكم إلا لله. There is no hukum except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وقالوا أشركت وحكمت الرجال ولم تحكم كتاب الله. They said, you became a mushrik. They said, you became a mushrik, وَحَكَمْتَ الرِّجَالِ And you are using the hukum of human beings other than the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they call him a mushrik, a kafir, somebody who went out of Islam. That's why if you are looking for jama'at al-takfir, these guys, the khawarij. وَقَالُوا أَشْرَكْتَ وَحَكَمْتَ الرِّجَالِ وَلَمْ تُحَكِّمْ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ And you do not use the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And subhanAllah, if they have knowledge, as I always mention, that the main problem of the Khawarij is lack of knowledge and taking knowledge from everyone. You know, getting the wrong interpretation and applying it in the wrong way. Applying the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Nusus in the wrong way. Alhamdulillah. So that's the reason why they said he did not use the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And by Allah, whoever studies the Quran and the Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he knows that Ali ibn Abi Talib is using 100% the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you don't need the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to come straight forward and tell you, Ali ibn Abi Talib, you can go and reconcile with Muawiyah and you can have two people to be non-biased, you know, entities to judge between you and them. We don't need this. Otherwise, if we claim that Quran has to be very clear in this regard, then I don't know how many volumes shall we have of the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by now. You get it? If everything has to be mentioned very clearly, then by now, the Quran is hundreds of volumes. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned principles, if we don't understand them correctly, we go to the scholars, they will tell us what exactly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about. Yes, these principles, they are okay and enough to address all of our matters until the Day of Judgment. So Ali ibn Abi Talib is using the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but not in the way they understand. And is it possible for them to understand? No, it's not. Because فَاقِدْ الشَّيْءِ لَا يُوْطِيهِ. You know, if I don't understand the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how am I going to judge what Ali ibn Abi Talib is doing? What a scholar is doing? If I don't understand the book itself, how am I going to say what he's doing is right or what he's doing is wrong? So I'm saying this also, inshallah, please pay attention. Every single part of our lesson today, that is today, has a lot of lessons for us. Yeah, because nowadays, who justify what a scholar or a student of knowledge or a speaker is saying? To say it is correct or it is wrong, who does that? Awamunas, ignorant. And a person who never went through the Quran or the Sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, but he is the one who will be telling us, this sheikh is really a great scholar. What he says is, mashallah, excellent, super sheikh, as they call some people, who are talihin. Actually, if you look at the approach, they're talihin. Iwallah. If you have opportunity, you will ask them to come down. You close the mic, you will never let them continue. But the awam, they think they are the experts because they know how to talk. They have the language, that's number one. They know how to use the language, you know, and also they know how to use the strange matters to approach the brain of the community. This is exactly what is going on. Yeah. That's why you have to be very careful when you sit with a person. You know, you have to be very careful. Be very selective to make sure that you take the right one. So awam, unfortunately, they are the ones who are judging who is right, who is wrong. That's why you find a great scholar being rejected by the people. Why? Because his durus are not interested. Wallah, there are some of great scholars, very great scholars. Trust me, if you are to bring them on the stage to talk, I can assure you most likely 90% of the audience will be sleeping. Only a few will be listening. And trust me, you might say, this man, you know, as far as knowledge is concerned, you know, and delivery is concerned, you might say throughout your life you never met a person like him, and you will never be wrong. Very strong in terms of scholarship, but their method is not the method of joke like what we are familiar with nowadays. No entertainment, no jokes, no anything, you know, and they talk a lot. Talking a lot means they exceeded 5 or 6 minutes. Nowadays, people are not willing to listen to a class. After the first 2 minutes, then the battery started to shut down. We have a lot of, what do you call them? Shorts? Those little tiny things, you know. Mm-hmm. They call them in the past, sandwich. In the past, we don't have them, but we have those small pamphlets and books that scholars, our mashayikh used to call them sandwichat. And subhanAllah, and they print them a lot. And people are so happy, yeah, you have the shortest version of the thing. But at the same time, they are taking the essence of the knowledge. Iwallah. As I told you, in the past, the way we do research in the past, which nowadays, Allah mustahil, and it is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that this technology comes. But at the same time, wallahi, we are losing a lot. Yeah, if you visit my house one day, you see the library I have in the house. It covers here and there. But most of this book, I inherited them from a friend of mine. I told him when he was leaving Malaysia, he said, I have books, I don't know what to do with them. I said, what do you mean? He's a very good student of knowledge, a graduate from the Faculty of Hadith of Medina. And very, very, very good student of knowledge, because I can see from his books, I'm still revising. Whenever I open a book, I see like this guy read almost every book he has. And comments, making comments on every part of the book. That's mean he went through. But then at the end of the day, he was saying that I don't need them because we have CDs and we have internet now. So what do I, can you find a way for them? I said, yeah, I have a way for them. I can take them all. He said, no problem. Yeah. So this is one of the masaib, you know. I know since I was in Medina, people stopped buying books. Wallah, people stopped buying books. And in those days, actually, we don't have this Maktabat al-Shamila. We don't have this internet. You go and get whatever you need. We don't have. Even if it does exist, but nobody knows. That's why when the first CD comes, it's called Alfiya. Subhanallah. Come and see the way the uqul of the student in the Medina went. Because when you open, you have 1,000 volumes of books. yani our mukafa, our scholarship will never buy these ones. We already know that. But then now you have all of these ones. Subhanallah, you see books, but in those days they were very stingy. Yeah, you cannot duplicate copies, you cannot do, and they're very expensive. And our scholarship in the university is 840. After that, it is the same. It's more than enough for you to live in Medina, more than enough. Because for food, you need only 250 to what you call subscribe the food in the university, you get all the food. You don't need to worry. And good food also. So the balance is just up to you to do whatever you want. But the CD itself is, it is sold 1,000 riyal.
1,000
riyal. Yeah, you have, yeah, but in those days it was it, you know, because you have 1,000 books. If I go, I buy one book, it takes a lot. But now I have 1,000 books in one CD. But the thing is, as a student of knowledge, when do I generate this 1,000? After how many months? Yeah. So we kept on looking for ta'wil. And those guys are very smart. They write, when you're installing the CD, before you click, they said, "Say I swear by Allah that this is the original copy." So we kept on looking for fatwa, asking our scholars. So I remember some of the scholars said, "What does that mean?" You know, they ask, they wrote it down. We say, "Yeah, Sheikh, they wrote it down." And the place where you click, you have to click down. So we worry so much. He said, "But did you say aqsumu billah?" We said no. So just click and. Allah forgive. And subhanAllah. So, al-Shahid, you know, everyone was happy, but it took a lot. People stopped reading because it's not easy for you to open a laptop or iPad to read a book completely from A to Z. Unless if that book is not that much. Imagine you have 10 volumes of Ibn Jarir al-Tabari. You open your laptop and read. It's not a friendly, actually, reading. So I just want you to understand how much we are losing. Those ones when they come, Shamil Akim, and then now Durar Akim, you know, so many things which we don't even know. Every day you have new thing. They are good, actually, for a quick reference. For instance, I go to him, I said, "Omar, wallah, they invited me for a lecture tomorrow." And I told them, "Yes." And these guys, they already prepared for months they have been preparing. They're just ready for me, and only a few hours left. "But Omar, I have an emergency trip. I have to travel. I must travel. But I really don't want to put them into trouble. Please, can you handle the thing?" Omar asked me, "What is the topic?" I told him. And then he told me, "How do you expect me to prepare something, you know, overnight?" I tell him, "You have Shamila." Yeah, go to Shamila and just write the title. It gives you the... Nowadays they have AI or something. Auzubillahi min shaitan rajim. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect, you know. Somebody says, "We have doubt." And this statement, it looks so funny, but it's true. He said, a physical person give you fatwa and you still have some doubt. And now on the machine, you go to the machine and tell him, "I have this issue," and the machine is telling you what to do. A'udhu billah. Fatwa machines, they call them. I don't know whether, Mazen, I think your people are working so much on that in Dubai somehow. Did they manage to do? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not give them ability to go for this, because it will create a lot of problems in this dunya of ours. You know. So anyway, what I'm trying to say is that, you know, it takes a lot. It's just for quick reference. So Omar can go through that one to get, you know, the places where he can take from here, and compile a lecture within 2 hours, 3 hours, and then go and revise them and then go and deliver. Yeah. But in the past, the way we do research, when they give us assignment, every year you have this assignment, and we have the final year assignment also. So the way we do, because you have no clue, no phones, actually sometimes, yeah, you go to the library, you know, subhanAllah, first you have to be thinking of where are the madhan. Madhan means the places you are expecting to find that topic. So Allahu Alam, how many books you are going to be opening in the library, checking about that matter? How many books? A lot. And while going through the content, the table of the content, you're going to pass through a lot of things you have been looking for ages. Sometimes you stop, you know, and read those ones. You're not looking for them, but you just got them, so you read. SubhanAllah, sometimes by the time you reach the topic you're looking for, you became a mini scholar on other matters. Nowadays, we cancel all of these. Yeah, that's why I said, as a student of knowledge, we really have to be very careful. It's ni'mah, I believe, it's a ni'mah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we have this technology that gives us this huge amount of books, which the predecessors maybe never dreamt of them. But subhanAllah, you can see the negligence is very great. They travel to a city for 1 month to get one hadith. You, just in front of you, just click, it gives you, mashallah, more than what you're looking for. Almost everything is there. But those ones, subhanAllah, everything is here. Clear understanding, good knowledge, huge amount of knowledge, and we are still in the way we are. We got stuck. Yeah, so student of knowledge need these ones, trust me. Iwallah. Barakah is in books. I really advise you that the feeling you have when you're holding a book and reading it, you don't have the same feeling when you open the book on the phone or on the laptop. You know, so I really advise to keep that custom, that tradition. Buy books. Yeah. So I don't have a bookstore that sells books for somebody to think that maybe I'm promoting my book. No, I would never have, you know. But at the same time, I really believe that we need to go back to that old tradition. And it keeps you connected, actually. You know, you feel that, yes, you are studying. When you have the book, you'll be able to make comments. And even the focus also will not be like that one. And this is apart from also the other disadvantages that can affect your eyes in the near future when you too much look at the screen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good. So we have gone too far. Let's come back. So as I said, every single part of this class, please do pay attention to it. We will, inshallah, try to make some connection. So they said, لا حكم إلا لله. Don't forget we're talking about Ali ibn Abi Talib using the hukum, book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but those guys were not able to understand because of what? They don't have the knowledge. فَقِدُ الشَّيْءِ لَا يُعْطِيهِ. You know? Yeah. فَقَالَ لَهُمْ عَلِيٌّ لَكُمْ عَلَيْنَا ثَلَاثٌ. Ali ibn Abi Talib said, we'll give you three options. أَلَّا نَمْنَعَكُمْ مِنَ الْمَسَاجِدِ. We will not, we will give you three things. Okay? We will not stop you from our masajid. You can come to the masjid, no problem. وَلَا مِنْ رِزْقَكُمْ مِنَ الْفَيْءِ. And whenever you participated with us in any of the battle, we will also share the booties and the spoils of war with you. وَلَا نَبْدَأُكُمْ بِقِتَالِ مَا لَمْ تُحْدِثُوا فَسَادًا. And we will never start fighting you as long as you don't start. If you do corruption, you do evil in the society, then we will fight you. But for now, we will not do anything. You go with your method, we will go with our method. You want to join us, join us. You don't want to join us, just leave. But don't disturb anyone. SubhanAllah, very fair. You know, Ali ibn Abi Talib can fight. But those ones, they know what they do. Because they know what they're doing. Because fighting an ideology, how do you fight ideology? The best way to fight ideology is to do what? To use ideology. If you have fikr, the best way to fight fikr is to use fikr. Go and sit there. The best method is to sit with Sahib al-Fikr Hada. Don't sit down and talk, keep on refutation. They will also refute, you know, and most likely they will not accept. Is to have a special jalasat, you and them, in a very calm environment, healthy environment. And try not to be sensitive. Wait to listen from them. What exactly is the problem? This is the method followed by Abdullah ibn Abbas. He went to them, he did not tell them, you are ignorant, you never be with the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you don't know, you did this. No. He went to them, he said, I'm just here to discuss with you this important matter. Rather than fighting each other, fighting the people, and people are fighting you, why can't you try to see what exactly is the matter? So he said, my question to you, please, what is the problem you have with Ali ibn Abi Talib? So they appreciated that. That's why they told him everything. The useless one, actually, almost all of them are useless. All of them are useless. But then after that, he was able to do the right thing, alhamdulillah. So that's why the best way to fight fikr is to use fikr. You know, you get it? It's ideology. Use the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Use the sharia in a very calm way, conducive environment to put that discussion, be it like Allah, they will listen. But usually in many places, the government, what do they use? Force. And subhanAllah, across the history, when you use force to counter, to combat ideology, you are increasing it. Because you have people in the community who are going to say, why the government is fighting? That's when these people are right. You get it? So that's why discussion is the best way. Unless if discussion, doesn't seem to work, and these guys are not keeping quiet, they are causing corruption and facad on earth, then khalas, the government has to take action, use quwwah to fight quwwah. You know? So that's exactly what Ali bin Abi Talib said, we will not fight you. As long as you remain calm, we will not fight. ثم إنهم تجمعوا وقتلوا من اجتاز من المسلمين ومر بهم عبد الله بن خباب بن الأرت ومعه زوجته. So subhanallah, they were in that place Al Harura. They started fighting whoever passed that community. عبد الله بن خباب بن الأرت. خباب بن الأرت was a companion of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. You remember somebody who told the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم when they were in Mecca. He was one of the سابقون الأولون. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم was there leaning to the Kaaba. Khabbab went to him and he says, Ya Rasulullah, life is very tough over here. Please make dua for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to lift, from us this punishment and persecution from the Quraysh. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam got annoyed. He says, what happened? Patience, sabr, sabr. And then he told them that in the past they used to bring a person and put the saw on his head and cut him into two pieces. And that would never let him change his religion. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, they do everything they can do, put him in the fire, but he will not change his religion. Because according to the past, you cannot do tawriya. You have to be very straightforward with the enemies. You cannot say, I hide my iman, I tell them what they want. It doesn't work. That's only in the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And you cannot let somebody force you to change your religion. You have to accept whatever they want to do. So that's why you see many of them, they kill them. They cut them, but they still insist. They resist. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَلَكِنَّكُمْ تَسْتَعْجِلُونَ. You are just impatient. So that was Khabbab al-Arat, who was the one who was talking to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he was the one when Umar ibn al-Khattab said, if there is anyone who deserves to lead the affairs of ours, should be Bilal. Because everyone knows how much Bilal went through. A punishment. So Khabbab says, Ya Amir al-Mumineen, I think there is some correction here. And people think that Bilal was the only one who has been punished because his is exposed. That's why everyone, and he was a slave at that time, so that not like us, we are people, members of the community, but very weak. So we went through the punishment actually worse than Bilal. So Umar was shocked. He told him, what do you mean? Everyone knows what Bilal has gone through. He says, Ya Amir Mumin, let me show you what I'm talking about. Yeah, he opened his back. Subhanallah, that back was burnt. He said, my people used to put me on fire, very hot place. The only thing that cools it down is the oil, the water coming from his back. So imagine, for ages he has been going through this. Bilal did not go through this. They put things and they drag him, they do whatever. This one is really tough. And this is what you have heard. Those that were hidden, only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. That's why, wallahi, nothing fit the earth except Islam. Because only Muslim, are not allowed to commit injustice against somebody just because he is not using their religion. We are the just people. Whenever we rule, non-Muslims sometimes they enjoy privileges more than us. You get it? We observe justice. But when you go to other places where they're ruling, different. You Allah. You have other places where the leadership is by others. Muslims are going to really suffer a lot. So Islam is the only religion that fits the world because it's a religion of justice. They reject injustice and unfairness against anyone. So Khabbab, Abdullah bin Khabbab, the son of Khabbab bin al-Arat, he passed through the Khawarij. So, وَمَعْهُ زَوْجُهُ. And he was together with his wife. فَقَتَلُوا. They killed him. They asked him questions, so he politically gave them the answer. They killed instantly. And that wasn't enough. وَبَقَرُوا بَطْنَ زَوْجَتِهِ عَنْ وَلَدِهَا. They killed the wife, and cut the stomach. She was pregnant. They bring the fetus, they threw it away. You can see how much, heart is the heart of these people. You kill the husband. What is the problem with the wife? What did she do? Even in the battle, the wives don't, sisters don't go to fight. What is it? Why is she involved? And you can see the hatred, the fetus in the womb. Why did he kill that one also? So فَلَمَّا عَلِمَ بِذَلِكَ أَمِيرُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ عَلِي بِنْ أَبِي طَالِبٍ سَأَلَهُمْ مَنْ قَتَلَهُ قَالُوا كُلُّنَا قَتَلَهُ. When Ali bin Abi Talib got the news about this, he asked them, who killed him? He was very annoyed. He asked them, who killed him? They said, كُلُّنَا قَتَلَهُ, all of us. فَجَهَزَ الْقِتَالِ عَلِيُّ لِلْقِتَالِ. So he prepared to fight. You know, he already told them, right? We will not stop you from our masajid. We will not stop giving you the fight. And also, we will not fight you as long as you don't do fasad. And this is fasad, right? So he went to them, to fight them. وَالْتَقَى بِهِمْ فِي الْمَوْقِعَةِ الْمَشْهُورَةِ بِالنَّهَرْوَانِ. He met them in this famous battle, the Ma'rakat al-Nahrawan. نهروان. So قال فهزمهم شر هزيمة. علي بن أبي طالب defeated them. الحمد لله. The worst type of defeat. ولم ينج منهم إلا القليل. Only a few among them pass and run away. And you can see those one, they have big influence. You know, they were the one who killed Ali bin Abi Talib. Go and read the story in Ibn Kathir, a very sad story. And you will understand why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam called them kilab ahli nar, and why is it very dangerous to have entities like this. Ali bin Abi Talib, in those days there was nobody who is more righteous to our knowledge and better than Ali bin Abi Talib on earth. Imagine the one who killed Ali bin Abi Talib. Do you know that he believes he is making jihad? Do you know that he believes he is making jihad? A'udhu billah. You know, sadiquhu kana yarithu. Yarithi. His friend was praising him in a poetry. He says, Ya darbatan min taqil ma arada biha illa liyablugha min dhil arshi ridwana. He was praising that hit. You know, this guy, he took a sword after the meeting. They had three of them. One of them took, because of the conclusion of that meeting is that they have to get rid of three people. Ali bin Abi Talib, Muawiyah bin Abi Sufyan, and Amr bin Al-As. So the one who was supposed to go and kill Ali bin Abi Talib, he poisoned his sword for 1 month. 1 month putting it to poison. In a way, he just need to cut Ali bin Abi Talib. That's enough. The poison will do the job. And see how much evil is this person. So he went. And Ali bin Abi Talib came. You know, he was hiding the man, and he managed to hit him on his head. So that's why when they went to Abu Ali bin Abi Talib and they saw his condition, people are saying, and the man was there being tightened. So people are asking, is he dead? The man heard them asking about the possibility of him surviving. He said, كَيْفَ يَنْجُو وَقَدْ سَمَمْتُهُ شَهْرًا. He said, how is it possible for you to expect him to survive? I poisoned my sword for a month. There is no way for him to live. Subhanallah. And he was so happy, you know, in the time Ali bin Abi Talib told them, don't kill him, please, if I don't die. If I die, then qisas. But if I live, please don't kill. Leave him. So he was so happy, you know. He was telling them, Alhamdulillah, you tie my hand and leg, but my tongue is still mentioned. He was doing dhikr. Yeah. That's why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if you see them praying, you will belittle your prayer. You will think you don't know how to pray. If you see them fasting, you will think you don't know how to fast. If you see them reciting Quran, you will think you don't know how to read Quran. They pray at night and they cry a lot. You see their eyes being red. And you can see the sign of a sujood very zahir on their forehead. But subhanAllah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, their iman doesn't cross their hanjara. وَيَمْرُقُونَ مِنَ الدِّينِ كَمَا يَمْرُقُ السَّهْمُ مِنَ الرَّمِيَّةِ. They went out of the deen just like the way the arrow went out of the prey, very quick. Like some scholars said, it doesn't even pick up blood sometimes because it's so fast. That's how they go out of the deen. But you can see the practice, the religious practices are there, right? And subhanAllah, you have some people who have in this mentality up to date in our time. And whenever you talk to them, they call you, what name? What is the name given to you when you tell them, قَالَ رَسُولَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ اسْبِرْ, be patient. Ulama? No, Imam Sultan, this one is okay. Boleh. Huh? Shukran Mazin. Maybe he met some of them, right? But the first time when I talk in one of the places, may Allah guide them, you know. Some of them are here. I don't want them to hear me talking about their place. But when they forced me to talk about this, and I told them, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, be patient with the leaders. Make dua for them. So they said, they call me ulama al-haid wa nifas. The scholars of haid wa nifas. Wallahi, that was the first time I heard this word. I never thought there is a person who is calling our scholars of the student of knowledge just because they follow the sunnah, you call them these names. But these are ghawgha min al-nas. A person who doesn't have, you know, a teaspoon of knowledge, but he's the one who will judge which one is correct and which one is wrong. It's exactly what you see with the khawarij. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide them. So Ali ibn Abi Talib defeated them. So I said, they killed Ali ibn Abi Talib, right? This khawarij. And you can see the one who killed him, he still believed that he's doing the right thing. And his friends also, they are so happy that he succeeded. The one who went to Muawiyah managed to hit him at the back. They said he broke the bone. That's why, wallahu alam, they said after that, Muawiyah was not be able to produce children after that event. Yeah. Broke the backbone, this one. So, alhamdulillah, he lived. The one who went to Amr ibn al-As in Egypt, Qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Amr ibn al-As was sick. So he couldn't come to the masjid. So he appointed a person called Kharija to go and replace him in the imamah. Because in those days, the imam is the leader. So if you don't know who is the leader, just go to the masjid, the main masjid, the central masjid. Just see who is leading the prayer. You just know that this is the king or the. In the past, this is how it is. This is the khalifa. So this man doesn't know Amr ibn al-As, but he knows that for sure, according to the system, the custom, Amr ibn al-As should be the imam. So when he went to the masjid, his target was the imam. Miskin Khadija, he went to pray, you know, to replace Amr ibn al-As. This guy managed to kill him. So people got him. While they are taking him out of the masjid, they said, let's take him to Amr ibn al-As. He said, wait a minute. Whom did I kill? They said, Kharija. He said, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raja'un. Aradtu amran wa aradallahu kharija. So it became a proverb among the Arabs. When you want something but it doesn't happen, something else happened. An Arab man will say, "Aradtu amran wa aradallahu kharija." So I hope you're following, right? I just want you to understand how dangerous it is to have this ideology among us. And also how important it is to go to school. And also how important it is to check and see who are the scholars that are going to be advising you. You know, not randomly taking everyone. Yeah. Otherwise you will end up being worse than the khawarij. Iwallah. Qala. وقد أخبر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بخروج هذه الطائفة في هذه الأمة فقد تواترت الأحاديث بذلك ذكر منها الحافظ ابن كثير أكثر من 30 حديثا وردت في الصحيح والسنن والمسانيد. He says the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم talk about the emergence and the appearance of these people. You know, subhanAllah, in many hadith, Ibn Kathir mentioned around 30 hadith about them. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم talk about that, they're coming. That's how much serious is the matter. Right, the Prophet ﷺ before death, he talks about them. مِنْهَا مَا رَوَاهُ أَبُو سَيْدٍ الْخُدْرِيِّ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. One of these hadiths is the hadith of Abu Sayyid al-Khudri. قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَمَ تَمْرُقُ مَارِقَةٌ عِنْدَ فِقَّةِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ يَقْتُلُهَا أَوْلَى الطَّائِفَتَيْنِ بِالْحَقِّ. It says you have one of the community or group of people that will exit. Exit means they will go against the jama'ah, right? They go against the jama'ah, and this is when the fitna happens between the two group of the believers, and he's referring to the battle of Siffin, right? The battle between Ali ibn Abi Talib and Muawiyah. يَقْتُلْهَا أَوْلَ الطَّائِفَتَيْنِ بِالْحَقِّ. And the one who is closer to truth amongst both two groups that are fighting each other will be the one who will kill these guys. He's referring to Ali ibn Abi Talib. Yeah, because the hadith says, fitna will happen between the companions, and Ali ibn Abi Talib is the closest person to the truth at that time. وَعَنْهُ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. أنه لما سئل عن الحرورية قال لا أدري ما الحرورية. سمعت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عبد الله بن أبو سعيد الخدري. He said when he was asked about حرورية, who are the حرورية? خوارج, right. When he was asked about the حرورية, قال لا أدري ما الحرورية. He said I don't know what is حرورية, but I heard the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم saying يخرج في هذه الأمة ولم يقل منها قوم تحقرون صلاتكم مع صلاتهم يقرؤون القرآن لا يجاوز حلوقهم أو حناجرهم يمرقون من الدين كما يمرق السهم من الرمية. He says in this ummah a group of people and a sect would emerge. The Rawi says ولم يقل منها. He did not say from this ummah. Yeah, this is problematic, you know. If Abu Sa'id al-Khudri said this, he himself, then whoever believes that Khawarij are not Muslimin, then he has a justification here. Because there is a difference between being min al-Ummah or fil Ummah. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in this Ummah will be divided into 73. Right. So that's why when they look at the sects that happens, they will say, هذه الفرقة من الثلاث وسبعين. They are from the 73. But this one, they are not. And that's why when they talk about the Rawafid, that the first time they emerge, they are talking, are they even part of this 73 or they're not? You get the idea. Al-Jahmiyya. Can you put Jahmiyya from the 73 people? Looking at this is Kufr al-Buwah, you know, almost rejection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala completely and His existence. Do you get it? Sufasta'iyya. Do you know them? Sufasta. In Arabic language, they say Safsata. You know Sufasta'iyya? Alhamdulillah, you don't know. Even the name also, you don't know how to say it. So say Alhamdulillah. Yeah. These are one of the worst. Even atheists, they are somehow better than them. Because at least atheists believe that there is something in this life, right?
The people that say nothing exists.
They themselves will say they don't exist. Yeah, and imagine a person in front of you, you ask him, he doesn't agree that he does exist. Allah, that's Sadaq al Qa'il wal Junun Fununu. Definitely that man was right when he says you have different types of Junun. You know. How do you convince this guy that Allah exists? How do you convince him that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exists? You have to first convince him that he himself exists. And you have to go through a long debate. And I guess if you are to meet, inshallah, you will never meet one of them, but you should bring some shocking things and some stick. You hit him a lot first. Do you feel that? If he says yes, tell him, you see, you exist, right? Allahumma sta'an. So he says, I'm just talking about the way the scholars categorize the firq, right? The sects. They will tell you this one is part of the thalas of sab'een. That means they are Muslimin but mubtadi'ah. Al-bid'ah, you have two types of bid'ah. Bid'ah mukaffira or mufassiq. You get it? That is bid'ah that takes a person out of Islam, makes him kafir. And you have bid'ah that makes a person fasiq. Not a kafir, but a fasiq. The one that is mukaffira, this is a bid'ah that is related to those aqa'id, the aqidah that makes a person out of Islam completely. And you have mufassiqah, the one that doesn't make him out of Islam, but he is a Muslim, but a wrongdoer. Big wrongdoer amongst the Muslims. You know. That's how we should understand bid'ah. Inshallah. So, قال لا أدري ما الحرورية سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول يخرج في هذه الأمة ولم يقل منها. He did not say from the ummah. He said in the ummah. قوم تحقرون صلاتكم مع صلاتهم. A people that should belittle your prayer with this. يقرؤون القرآن لا يجاوز حلوقهم. They read Quran and the Quran doesn't cross their حلق. You get it? أو حناجرهم يمرقون من الدين كما يمرق السهم من الرمية. They go out of the deen just like the way the arrow goes out of the prey. رواه البخاري. وقد أمر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بقتال الخوارج وبين أن في قتلهم أجرا لمن قتلهم. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم commanded authority also take action against them and to kill them wherever they find them. وهذا دليل على فساد هذه الطائفة. And this shows how much dangerous, you know, they are, you know, to be in existence in the Muslim community. وبعدها عن الإسلام, they're too far from the Islam. وضررها العظيم على الأمة, and the strong harm they caused the Ummah of Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. بما تثيره من فتن وقلاقل. So they always cause fitna among the Muslimin, and usually their fitna is bloody fitna. It's not just fitna in a way we see, no, bloody fitna. ففي صحيحين عن علي بن أبي طالب قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول يخرج قوم في آخر الزمان أحداث الأسنان سفهاء الأحلام يقولون من خير قول البرية لا يجاوز إيمانهم حناجرهم يمرقون من الدين كما يمرق السهم من الرمية فأينما لقيتموهم فاقتلهم فإن في قتلهم أجرا لمن قتلهم يوم القيامة. علي بن أبي طالب in الصحيحين, he said, I heard the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم saying, يخرج في هذه الأمة, in this ummah there will be a group of people that will come, أحداث الأسنان, young in terms of age, but not necessarily young in age, but the aql is young. Young in age, and also akal is young, because you have people who are younger age, but the akal is big, they're scholars. But those one, they are young in age plus sufahaul ahlam, they are prodigals, you know, people who are idiots in terms of thinking. The thinking is really, really, really childish. يقولون من خير قول البرية. When they talk, they will talk Quran and Sunnah. You know, لا يجاوز إيمانهم حناجرهم, but the iman doesn't cross حنجرة. يمرقون من الدين كما يمرق السهم من الرمية. They go out of deen very quickly, just like the way the prey, the arrow goes out of the prey. He says, فأينما لقيتموهم فاقتلوهم. Wherever you find them, kill them. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, فإن في قتلهم أجرا لمن قتلهم, because whoever does that, he has أجر from Allah سبحانه وتعالى يوم القيامة. But this one, he says, فاقتلهم, he is referring to the government, not individuals. Even in time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I mean, in time of the companions, they don't do that. They see a person who is from the Khawarij, just killed, they don't do that. That's the job of the government, to identify who they are, where they are, and to take action against them in the way it is appropriate. وقال الإمام البخاري رحمه الله كان ابن عمر يراهم شرار خلق الله. Imam Bukhari said, Abdullah ibn Umar used to see them as the worst amongst the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وقال إنهم انطلقوا إلى آيات نزلت في الكفار فجعلوها على المؤمنين. He said they went to ayat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed addressing the matters of kuffar, but they applied on the believers. That's exactly what happened. They applied the ayat which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about the enemies, not even every kafir, no, enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But they applied on the believers. That's why Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar said, عَظُمَ الْبَلَاءُ بِهِمْ. You know, the bala, the fitna that happens because of the khawarij was so great in those days. وَتَوَسَّعُوا فِي مُعْتَقَدِهِمُ الْفَاسِلِ. And they kept on expanding the belief. At first it used to be a political belief, right? But then they kept on expanding it. فَأَبْطَلُوا رَجْمَ الْمُحْسَنِ. And they said there is no rajm. If somebody committed zina and he is muhsan, muhsan means somebody who had relationship, sexual relationship with a spouse in a legal marriage. Even once, it's more than enough, he became muhsan. Whether the marriage continues or the marriage is dissolved, if he is to commit zina, he should be killed by the government, stoned till death. You get it? And why Sharia is very lenient with the Shabab, those who did not marry, they should be flogged 100 times. And also sent to exile for 1 year. But this one, he has to be killed, you know, because he's more dangerous than the first one.
More dangerous?
More dangerous.
I thought this was a mercy to Shabab.
It's a mercy for him also, the other guy. It's more dangerous because he experienced that life. Shabab is still... This guy is miskeen. Majnoon, he doesn't know what exactly is going on, you know. And Junoon who qadahu, you know, he was led by his Junoon to go and do this. So tell the government, please show mercy. tell them don't go again. But that guy, he is in the system. He knows what he's looking for, and he knows what that means. And also he has the capacity, he's supposed to be having a capacity to protect himself. Why can't he go and approach that? From both sides, the woman and the man, when that happens from both of them, they have to be executed by the authorities. So according to the Khawarij, they said no. No rajm. Why no rajm? Because they couldn't see it in the Quran.
It's clearly in the Quran.
It's not. Is not. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, beat them 100 times. But it's just there, clearly in the Sunnah. That's how we said, it is not in the Quran, clearly the text, right? But it's there in the Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But it used to be 100% in the Quran. How do we know that? Because Umar radiallahu anhu said, we read it and we understand it. It used to be in the Quran, we read it. So I don't want somebody to come and say it, we don't find it in the Quran. He said, we used to read it in the Quran. What does that mean? Abrogated. He says, after that, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he stoned Al-Ghamidiyya and Zawjat al-Asif also. You know, around four people in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they were stoned till death. All after that ayah. So we understand that, yes, the hukum is still applicable because you have a naskh, you know, taking place in different ways. Sometimes the text will be abrogated and the hukum remains. And sometimes the hukum will be abrogated, the text remains. And sometimes the text and the hukum, both of them will be gone. You get it? The example of the text being abrogated and the hukum remains, which is that? Text being abrogated and the hukum remain. There's this one, a sheikh wa sheikhatu. That one also, maybe Yusuf, you need to read, if I'm not mistaken, Adha'u al-Bayan fi Idha'i al-Qur'an bil-Qur'an lil-Amin al-Shanqiti. He talks about the controversy of the scholars concerning the authenticity of that narration, a sheikh wa sheikhatu, idha zanaya farjumuhum al-battata nakala min Allah. You know, there is a controversy when it comes to the authenticity of that narration. Is it authentic or not? So they believe that there was an ayah, for sure, which talks about, you know, stoning the adulterer and adulteress till death. But is it this one, a sheikh wa sheikhatu, or not? The sunnah we got is this one. But then the chain is shaky. Yeah, so that's the reason why they talk a lot. But they believe there was an ayah. So this one is confirmed. There was an ayah, but is it this one or not? You know. So you can see the hukum remains, which is stoning till death. That's why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did it. But the text, where is the text? It's gone. Right? So you see, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala abrogated the text, but he kept the hukum. Right? Aisha radiallahu anha said, كان فيما أنزل من القرآن عشر رضاعات يحرمنا. It used to be part of the revelation of the Quran that 10 breastfeeding of a child makes the child mahram to the mother who breastfed him. 10 breastfeeding. What does that mean? Suck 1, 2, 3, 4. She has to be counting, right? Use the counter. So this is not correct approach. Breastfeeding doesn't mean he suck 1. Go again, 2. Go again, 3. No, it's not like that. But when he hold the breast, you know, the baby, when he's hungry, get the breast, you keep on talking to him, Kareem, Kareem. No. إِذَا حَضَرَ الْعَشَاء إِذَا حَضَرَ الْعَشَاء وَحَضَرَ الْعَشَاء فَبْدَوُ بِالْعَشَاء. You get it? Although he doesn't know that concept. So he doesn't want to listen to you. So they would get the thing and they would keep on sucking whatever they want to eat. To drink. You know, after they got tired, they stop. Yeah, when he stopped, then she count 1. When he leave the breast, he stopped to breathe and to talk to the people and appreciate what was done to him. I'm just kidding. You count 1, right? When he goes back, that's number 2. When he goes back, that's number 3. You know, He goes back and stops like that. So that's why you can have the whole 10 rada'at in one sitting. And the case closed completely. Are we together, inshallah? So she can do it in one sitting and the case closed. We got this right, because there is a controversy among the scholars and also misunderstanding by many of us how to do it. Yeah, so it's all about when he hold the breath and to take until he stop, and then we count one. So Aisha said, "Kana fi ma unzila min al-Qur'an." It used to be part of that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed from the Quran, that 10 breastfeeding will make a child a mahram to the woman and to the man also. Right. So, but then she said, "Thumma nusikhna bi khamsin ma'lumatin." And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala abrogated those 5 with, 10 with 5. Those 10 were abrogated with 5 rada'at. She said, وَتُوفِّيَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ سَلَّمَ وَهُنَّ مَا يُتْلَى مِمَّا يُتْلَى مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ. She said, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam died while they are still part of what people read of the Quran. That's why the Shia criticize the companions. They say, you see, Aisha said that is ayah which the companions change. Because she says Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam died and people are still reading those 5 rada'at. Go and open the Quran that is with us. When did you ever see 5 rada'at? Never. That's why the scholars, they don't even see this as a problem actually. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to my knowledge, he never invited every companion when he want to abrogate, when he want to tell them that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala abrogate something. He just talked to the available, whoever is there. That's why the scholars said, when they talk about this hadith, they said, "Babun an-nasx qad yaqa wa la ya'rifu aw ya'lamu bihi ba'd as-sahaba." You might find an-nasx, but some of the companions don't know about it. And they will use this hadith of Aisha, because she said people kept on reading. That means these are the ones that did not know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala abrogated the verse. So question, you see, she said the text Ashur Radaat has been abrogated, right? Do we find it in the Quran? No. The hukum, is the hukum abrogated? Yes. So you can see both are gone. The text and the hukum, both of them are gone. This is the example of a nask where you remove the text and you remove the hukum also. It's clear, inshallah. And the second part is the example of when the text has been removed but the hukum is still there. Like the rajm hukum, right? Because we don't see the text in the Quran, that means it's gone. But the hukum remains. That's why the best opinion of the scholars is 5 breastfeeding, not 3, not 1. You know? Because there are some madhab that says 3, some of them 1, some of them said any amount. But the correct one is this hadith of Aisha, 5 rada'at. Because it's very clear. She said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make it 5. Then we don't need to go for inferences. As long as it was done before the age of 2, then that baby becomes part of the family of those people. You get it? So now we have one example left, right? Where the hukum is abrogated but the text remains, right? Where is it? In Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ يَتَوَفَّوْنَ مِنْكُمْ مَذَرُونَ أَزْوَاجًا يَتَرَبَّصْنَ بِأَنفُسِهِنَّ أَرْبَعَةَ أَشْهُرٍ وَأَشْرًا. وَالَّذِينَ يَتَوَفَّوْنَ مِنْكُمْ مَذَرُونَ أَزْوَاجًا وصية لأزواجهم متان إلى الحول غير إخراج. This ayah, the text is there, but the hukum is gone. They used to have the idda for how long? 1 year. Yeah, very terrible years. You know, that's why I wish every sister on earth will read Islam and read the history. They should be the most dedicated people to Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala. Iwallah. You know, when she lost her husband, she has to go away from the community, cannot approach people for 1 year, not taking shower, not using anything, living that terrible life alone. And she has to put something in her aura, she has to cover that place, and also subhanallah, because no hygiene, no ghusl, no haid will come for 1 year, all of these things will be accumulated, and she must live in that place. She must live in that place, you know. That's why when they came to the Prophet ﷺ asking him for discount, the Prophet ﷺ got annoyed. He says, come on, why can't you appreciate what Allah is doing? You know, what remains in the iddah? Nothing. no punishment except to protect the right of the husband who died. They have to stay for 4 months, 10 days, and not away from the community, in the community, live with everybody else, eat with them, live with them, you know, normal life, except that she will not decorate herself, because if she does decorate herself when she goes out, Kareem will say, well, I have been looking for a partner, and you are the best person to go with, you know. Is that halal for him to do that? No, it's haram. But there is something which is halal for him to do. What is that? They call it, I'm living with Sheikh, alhamdulillah. They call it at-ta'arid, you know. So what does he do in ta'arid? When he met her, or he met anyone who can convey the message to her, he would tell her, oh, wallahi, people like you on earth, there are very few. And if she's not dumb, she understands what he means, you know. I don't think there is a man on earth who is within his aql, who is not going to rush to get you alongside with him. And he doesn't tell her, Bashira, I want you to be my wife, but at the same time, she understands what he is talking about. Yeah. Nobody will reject a person like you. What does that mean? Yeah.
This is halal.
This is halal. You can do this. You call it ta'arid.
But Sheikh, you know, if someone today did this, we would say this is flirting.
This is?
Flirting.
What is that?
Like, you know, you want to say something to a girl to make her like you.
No, you don't go and say something to the random girl that just sell her this. No, it doesn't go like that, Adam. Come on, Adam. We're talking about you following the correct process. But rather than, you know, when you go to the house, you're going to meet a family, or if you can have access to talk to her, if she's the one who you have to address first.
So you don't directly propose to her. You're just showing that.
You just show interest. But when you go to the to talk to the father, the wali, her brother, whoever you want to talk to, what are you going to say? Well, I think your sister, your daughter is a very good girl. You know, nobody will reject her. Okay, assalamu alaikum. You say this, he will say, thanks for the praise. Alhamdulillah. I'm giving good tarbiyah to my daughter. Right? But when you go to him and tell him, my name is Adam Hussein and all of that. Did I call the father's name correctly? Oh, who cares?
Yeah, sorry.
You went through another world, right? What are you thinking about, Adam? So if you're going to tell him that, well, I have been looking for a wife and I couldn't find. And then I come to know that, yes, in the house, you have a daughter. And then you propose. Yeah. But if this daughter is used to be married, the widow, she lost her husband. And before she finished the iddah, can you talk to him about your interest to marry her? You cannot go directly. But you can say that, subhanAllah, this person left a woman that, I mean, nobody will know about her and reject her. The father, if he's not dumb, he knows what you're talking about. You go and tell her that people started showing interest in you, so you have to get ready if the time is due, inshallah. So we can do the ta'arid, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says you cannot come directly and propose. What took us to this topic?
No, we're talking about the mercy of
the last thing that make us use this example. What was that?
Nas.
Yeah, I know we're talking about nas. What was the last thing we do about nas that lead us to? We're talking about the life of the sisters before Islam, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nasiya Ibrahim wa nasiya kullu man bijuwarihi. Allahu musta'an. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was telling them, come on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala demanded from you the little, which is based on preservation of the right of the husband, right? To make sure that she doesn't carry his baby, you know, and go and marry somebody else and have the mixture of the lineage between the two families. Why can't you be patient? So Allah says she cannot decorate herself to avoid people seeing her and proposing to her easily, which might cause her not to be patient and go and marry somebody before the end of the iddah. So that's it. But before, what did they used to do? I said, according to the Jahili time, this evil situation they put the sisters, after a long period of time, after 1 year, you know, she is going to do something I forgot the name in al-istighfar, I guess, yeah, in Arabic. She put that piece of cotton in that place, and subhanallah, they said because of the disease and whatever happened, if she takes it and throw it on a dog or any animal, she has to do that after the end of the period to mark that now she's finishing and she's going out of that evil period. She has to take the thing and throw any animal with it. And they said, subhanallah, sometimes anything that touches that thing will die because of the disease that is going to be affecting him. Some of them also died during that period. Islam comes and remove them from that situation. And today, you can have a person who thinks that Islam is being unfair to the woman. I don't know which Islam are they talking about. So that ayah, they used to have the iddah for 1 year. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala abrogated that to 4 months, 10 days. You know, 4 months, 10 days. The ayah that talks about the iddah for 1 year, is it still there in the Quran? Yes. But the hukum is gone. So these are the three examples of naskh, Yusuf. So rajm, throwing a person, a zani, till death, exists in the Quran before. But then it was abrogated, the text, but the hukum remains. We found it from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In Sahih Bukhari, actually, Umar says, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do the rajm, and we did also after him. And he says, the evidences that can confirm zina are three. That's why the madhab of the Malikis is the best madhab here. He said, we have three evidences. Number one is the confession. They call it Sayyid al-Adillah. Somebody says, I did. What else we have? Yeah, if he's not Majnoon, you just accept. And the second evidence is the four witnesses. Yeah, this one never happened to my knowledge, up to date. Yeah, it's not easy for you to have four witnesses establishing zina. They're all okay, and they have to describe zina, that they saw these people committing zina, and they're sure about this 100%. They cannot just come and tell us we saw them in one room, we saw them in one blanket, we saw them naked. This is not going to go, you know, this is not going to work. So they have to explain what zina is all about, and all of them, they have to mention the same thing. How can you find this, you know? Ibn Taymiyyah says it never happened up to his time. And in my research also, this is my conclusion. I never come across a time when we have four witnesses to establish a case of zina. It's all about confession. People confess and then the government will take action. And the last one, he says, أو كان حمل. Or if there is a pregnancy out of wedlock. Yeah, pregnancy out of wedlock, what else do you need? Majority of the scholars gave a lot of explanations, the possibilities. But then the minority says, no. Why? The sister never married in her life and she brought a child. What explanation do you have? The only situation whereby we can excuse her if she claimed that she has been raped. In this case, even if she is lying, we accept that. Yeah, because she might be truthful. And once you execute the had, you cannot apologize to her. You cannot fix it. You cannot rectify it. Assalamu alaikum. Please. You get it. So that's why in Islam you have this concept, you stop the hudud when there is shubha. Why is that? Because if you execute the had, you cannot fix it. Yeah, when you execute the had, you cannot fix it. So when there is shubha, even if it is so small, so tiny, Islam will say, no had. It's better for you to be wrong in forgiveness than being wrong in establishment of the had. Because this is a capital punishment. You cut off his hand and then later on you realize that you're wrong. How do you fix it? No way. May Allah grant us good. So let's stop here, inshallah, and move to question and answers, if any. Nobody is asking. Yeah.
But if it's the had for like khamr or zina, I mean, it's lashes, right? So
how can you fix it?
You can give him money for compensation.
Well, how can you bring a person in front of the public, you know, and you beat him 100 times? How can you fix this one? You know, whenever he comes to the community, whenever people see him, they will remember that. Psychologically, he will be disturbed. You cannot compensate him completely. Although you don't kill him, But Omar, you can't compensate.
But couldn't the same be said for ta'zir punishments? Like, let's say you lash somebody 20 times for something. I mean, you also cannot fix that, right?
Yeah, that's why they said that. You are right, 100%. That's why they said it's always better for you to be wrong when you forgive him than being wrong in the execution of the punishment.
So
you went and beat him. You know, you want to do ta'zir. You beat him 20 times, not even 100. But then later on, you found out that this man is not guilty. Whatever you're going to do, wallah, you just gave him relief. You give him a lot of money, but it's just relief. That kind of embarrassment that he got from the community, people just to see him, police coming to handcuff him, that psychological pain cannot be fixed. But we give him relief. The government will give him some money to give him relief. But and also, maybe they beat him. How can you bring him back to that? Yet the pain he went through, how can we fix this? We can't. We can compensate him, we can pay him money, but we cannot remove everything. You know. So that's why it is a consensus of all the scholars that if there is shubha, had cannot be executed. No matter how much small it is, as long as this shubha is not based on waham, had cannot be executed. Yeah, because once you finish, no way for you to rectify. But if you are wrong, can you rectify? If you're wrong in forgiveness, can you rectify it? Yes. You tell him go, but later on you realize he's guilty, you bring him. Ali bin Abi Talib did. He beat a sister who committed zina on Thursday. Right? He beat her 100 times. But then he stoned her till death on Friday. That's why some scholars said that means we have to apply both for the muhsan, beating and stoning. Majority of the scholars said no, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam never applied both. He did not beat Mazin, he did not beat Ba'is. Yeah. So he asked them to stone him till death. And he did not beat Ghamidiya. And the other sister also, he did not beat them. That's why they said we don't beat. But those people, those other scholars, they are using a hadith that says Jaldu mi'atin wa rajm. That is a ruwayah that says Jaldu mi'atin wa rajm. Stoning till death after beating 100 times. And then they supported with the practice of Ali bin Abi Talib. But then the explanation given by the scholars that Ali bin Abi Talib, he beat her on Thursday because he couldn't have anything about her being a muhsan. But then on Friday, somebody came to him and told him, wait a minute, she married before. So then Ali bin Abi Talib realized that the punishment is stoning till death. So then he stoned her till death. It wasn't that Ali bin Abi Talib believes that he has to combine both. Allah grant us good. Yes, Yusuf.
Judging or using a rule which is not the Sharia, and people going to the courts which do not judge by the Sharia. So, can you please summarize it? So, inshallah,
if you don't mind, because I plan actually to talk about the second issue which comprises all of these. I'm going to make all of these conclusions, inshallah, after that. Next class, please come. And don't come to close my class. Just come so that I will talk about this matter in front of you, inshallah, Yusuf. Allah bless you. Okay, can we stop? Okay, subhanakallahumma bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.